Good morning and welcome to Black Book Talk. I'm Patricia Welch, the library lady, and with me this morning is my co-host,
O.B. Hill.
And unfortunately, the third member of our team, Emma Jackson Ford, is out of town on family business, and we just ask that you send her a lot of good thoughts, and we hope to have her back here soon. Well, you know, I'm always talking about beach books and beach blanket books and whatever. So this is the day, if you would like, to call us up at 503-231-8187 and tell us the book that you would take with you to the beach, to a desert island, whatever, or the book that you would recommend to somebody else. This is the time that you can share all of your books of questionable or no literary value, the ones that are just fun and you zip through. But then again, if you're the type of person who would want to take, well, James Baldwin, who is enjoyable but also just fantastic literarily, do that too. But just, you know, give us a call again at 503-231-8187. Okay. OB, you got something you want to share?
Actually, it's not a book right now, but I'd like to put in a plug for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Got back, when did we get back? Sunday. We were down there for about 5 days, had a very, very nice time, caught a couple plays, including August Wilson's Fences.
Oh, what?
And believe me, the acting was great, so I just think that if you have an opportunity to go down to Ashland, Oregon, please do so. You won't be sorry.
You know, you're right. I've only been there once for a weekend, but it was just wonderful. And there were a variety of plays, something for everybody. So, yeah, it's summertime. We need to get out of the house. Maybe take a bus. That car thing, that gas thing is a little questionable. But Ashland's not that far. You're not driving to California. You're just driving to Ashland. Okay, I'm going to give one of my recommendations. And I got to tell you, this is just a book you read for fun. I finally got around to reading till the end Terry McMillan's The Interruption of Everything. I like Terry McMillan, but, you know, I mean, pretty much for me, after about one or two chapters, I kind of know. Though this book did surprise me, so I guess I can't really say that. There were some things in there that were surprising. There were some messages that she wanted to get across to us. And she did it in her typical Terry way. And I have to admit, though, I really, really enjoyed it. Our protagonist is a woman whose life to many people would be enviable. She's married to an engineer, so she really doesn't have to work. She does work. She is an artist, works in jewelry. That's her meter, and she works in a jewelry store, a craft store. And she kind of sort of feels like she missed her calling because she didn't finish college and she wasn't serious about it. And she's at the point now where she's thinking her children have left the house or they're leaving. Her husband seems to have left the house, too, and what should she do? So we have the protagonist who is searching for something. She's having sort of a midlife crisis. The husband who seems to be doing the same. Of course, two fabulous girlfriends who are sounding boards and who help to get her through this. A mother-in-law who finds love at about 80-something with a gentleman who is at her bingo game, a mother who may or may not be slipping into Alzheimer's, a sister who is a drug addict. So I think Terry has pretty much covered the full spectrum or a pretty broad spectrum of African-American life. And if you like her books and if you want to see how somebody, you know, has their journey through midlife, and if you want to read about some black folks who are not poor and pitiful, because that is one of the things that I do like about her, her characters have money, make money, live well, send their kids to college, and, you know, are aware that there's another world, try to do what they can to help other people. But these are not poor, pitiful black folks. And just for that, I think I will recommend The Interruption of Everything by Terry McMillan. Obi? Oh, we have a phone guest. Okay, hello. Welcome to Black Book Talk. Who's calling?
Hello?
I know that voice.
Yes, that's California Cooper.
That certainly is. Hello, Miss J. California Cooper.
I was eager to talk to you this morning, and so I called.
Well, thank you.
Oh, how you doing this morning?
Well, pretty good, pretty good. And the book that I have that I really like is My Mother Had a Dream, and it's by Tamara, and I'm going to spell it, N-I-K-U-R-A-D-S-E. But I saw so many things that I liked in it, I wanted to share it. And these are just things that Mother said to some of the famous women, lots of them. And one is, I'll be with you always, and even when you don't want me to be.
That, which is most times.
That was I heard Diana, that.
That was by Diana Ross. And another one is by Alfre Woodard, who says, look at you. Her mother said, look at you. You's a pretty black girl.
Yes.
And another one, am I going too fast?
Oh, no, you're fine.
My mother died when I was 1 year old. This was by Sonia Sanchez.
Oh.
But my grandmother raised me from 1 to 6 years of age. I was a tomboy when I was very little, and everybody complained about me running outside with the boys, tearing up my pretty little dresses. But Mama, my grandmother, used to say, just let my baby be. She ain't like the others. She rough, but she gonna stumble on gentleness later on. I like that. And
You know something? You talk is just tell us. You know, you got at least 5 minutes. I'm hoping some other folks will call in. But I mean, if this is a book that's good and you want to share, we want to know about it.
Okay. And this is by Lorraine Hansberry. She said, though it be a thrilling, marvelous thing to be merely young and gifted in such times, it is doubly so, doubly dynamic to be young, gifted, and black. Look at the work that awaits you. And I like that one.
Tell us the name of this book again.
This is called My Mother Had a Dream.
Okay. Is this recently published?
You know, I don't know because I have so many books.
Okay. And would you give us the name again of the editor?
Tamara, Tamara.
Uh-huh.
Nikuradze, it sounds like, capital N-I-K-U-R-A-D-S-E.
Okay, N-I-K-U-R-A-D-S-E. Great name. Okay, this is a great one. Is there anything else from that book that you want to share?
Yes, I did.
Go on,
now,
you can.
if the first woman, this is by Sojourner Truth, if the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn this world upside down all alone, these women together out here ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again.
Oh, great.
That's a nice one. Now, and this is the last one. There are hundreds in here. But this one says, oh, Mama was a smart woman. It takes a smart woman to fall in love with a good man. And that's by Bessie Delaney. You remember those two?
Yes,
ladies?
The Delaney sisters.
Right. And so that's the kind of thing that's in this book. And it's full of wonderful things. Lots of them.
Thank you for calling in and sharing this. And I have to say that one of the books on my list this summer is Wild Stars Seeking Midnight Suns by J. California Cooper. And those of you who, if you've never heard her speak before, just the little bit that you've heard this morning and the decision that she made in terms of what to share is a part of why you know you want to read something by her. So you are also on my list of beach blanket books, though your books do have literary value. I want to make sure I'm clear about that. But, yes, you can just settle on the beach at the park with this book or anything by J. California Cooper, and you're going to have a good read. Ms. Cooper, thank you for calling in and sharing with us this morning.
Thank you for sharing with your audience these wonderful things, books that I've been hearing.
Well, you have to join us every month, and we'll share some more.
All right, dear. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. You're listening to KBOO. It's Black Book Talk. It's O.B. Hill and Patricia Welch.
Now, O.B., you always read, well, maybe you don't always read nonfiction. I always think that you're reading nonfiction. So, see, I could be very wrong. But do you have any little guilty pleasure books, I guess I'd call them?
No, I don't.
So what are you reading this
summer? Let me say this. There's a book written about 11 years ago or so by Brooks Stevens. Talking Dollars and Making Sense.
Yes.
And because of the economic times we live in now, I thought I would just go back and review some of the things that she was talking about and was making a lot of sense. However, you got to have a little money in order to do it. So maybe you should.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, another call.
All right. Well, I tell you what, put them through.
Put them on. Hello, caller. You're on Black Book Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who are we talking to?
Paris Williams.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is the next generation. Paris, for those of you who don't know, one of the wonderful things about Paris is that she's an archaeologist. Now, I'm provincial, so I've never met an African-American archaeologist again. And the notion that there apparently aren't that many, when in fact some of the world's most incredible archaeological sites are in Africa and other places where there are concentrations of people of color and concentration of people with African roots. You know, it's just crazy. We should have more. We don't have more. We're going to bring you back on another show so we can talk about that. But Paris is not only an archaeologist, a relatively new Portlander, but also a veteran of the radio airwaves in Berkeley, California, right?
Yes, that's true, with the Pacifica Network, KPFA in particular.
Did you interview a lot of authors when you were there?
Well, yeah, authors, historians, archaeologists.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your recommendation for that book for this summer?
Well, let's see. Actually, I've picked out a few. I actually don't read a lot of fiction. But I picked out a couple of fiction and a few nonfiction. One of the really most interesting books I've read on the nonfiction side is called Medical Apartheid. It's by a sister named Harriet Washington, mm-hmm. and it's called The Dark History of Medical Experimentation on Black Americans from Colonial Times to the Present. It's really a marvelous book and very, you know, enlightening and brings you right up to the present time.
Could you repeat that title again?
Medical Apartheid.
Okay, and the author is?
Harriet Washington.
Okay.
You know, for people who are, you know, more interested in anthropology, Africanisms in American culture, it's been around for a while. It's edited by Joseph E. Holloway, and also another really interesting book. Let's see, finally, one called Africans in Colonial Louisiana, which is written by Gwendolyn Midloe Hall. It's a really interesting book in terms of, especially because a lot of African-Americans on the West Coast, you know, originate down in southern Louisiana and mm-hmm. New Orleans and down that way. It's a really interesting book in that, you know, it talks about the first Africans in the area, the development of certain professions, like all the doctors were Africans in the colonial period. And actually young men were sort of like interned to older men who were doctors, black men, mm-hmm. To sort of keep the profession going. But on the fiction side, I really, you know, when I travel, I read fiction. And there's a really great author. I really like science fiction or fantasy, that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. when I'm not being serious, too serious. But there's a man, Stephen Barnes.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a book of his now called Lion's Blood. And it's a novel of slavery and freedom in an alternate America. So it's a great book. It's a great read. And he's, by the way, married to Tanana Reeves Duwe.
Absolutely. Yes.
Another great writer.
Yes.
Who does science fiction, science fantasy. I think Stephen Barnes has written in the past, like Twilight Zone, and you know, he has several books out, and I recommend him highly. And of course, my all-time favorite writer, J. California Cooper. Her latest is Wild Stars Seeking Midnight Suns. And it's a book of short stories. And in this book actually is one story that's really quite unique, and that's because it's autobiographical.
Oh.
And it's really one of my favorites of all her books. I think she has 11, going on 12 books in print right now. And this is the only autobiographical story she's written. And it's really
do you have that in front of you right now?
Yeah, it's really, really delightful.
Why don't you read us
We have another caller waiting, so we don't want to, at least, we still have another caller waiting, so I don't want to, Paris, could you hold on for a second?
Sure.
And like come back, but I do want to put this other one through. But and also, I was thinking, yeah, we have the book here in front of us, so we do want to know which of the stories. But I tell you what, we're going to put you on hold for a second, put this other caller in, because hey, they may be at work or something, and we don't want to jeopardize the job. Okay, can we do this? Can we send through a second one? Okay.
Hey. Hello, caller. You're on Black Book Talk.
All right. Hello, how you doing?
Hi.
Who we got now?
This is Robert Phillips.
Well, how's
Robert
it going?
Phillips.
It's going real good. How you doing?
Real
Fine.
Good hearing from
Great.
You.
Great.
Okay, Robert, now I know you read endlessly. So what are your recommendations for the summer?
Well, one of my recommendations would be a book called The Lost Supreme, The Life of Dream Girl, Florence Ballard. It's a book by Peter Benjaminson, and it's a book written about Florence, who was one of the original Supremes. She was the person who basically came up with the name Supremes, changing it from the Primettes, the original name of that historical female singing group.
Is this a new book?
Yes, it's a new book. A lot of the initial books came out were books from written by Mary Wilson called Dream Girls, and Dinah Ross had a couple of books out called Life of a Sparrow and other books. But most of the books kind of ignored or didn't really concentrate on Florence Ballard's life as much as they did about the group development and some of the drama that occurred with the group and Florence being kicked out and then replaced by Cindy Birdsong.
Right. And
but
actually,
the whole story, the whole Dream Girl play was based on the historical involvement of Florence in the Supreme, who was originally the lead singer.
Exactly.
She sung the song Buttered Popcorn that was written by Berry Gordy at the time. It wasn't a real successful song, but she was the lead on that one. And then basically Berry decided he wanted to change the sound of the Supremes and put Dinah Ross up front because he felt she had more of a crossover voice than Florence did at that time.
That's right. She was more, quote, commercial.
Right. And eventually, I mean, it became the sound of Motown. You know, the Supremes basically became the sound of Motown. They basically sold more records than the Beatles in the 1960s, which made them, you know, a real focal group at that particular time. But this particular book is good because, you know, it look at Florence's life from her suffering from chronic depression and alcoholism, her fall basically from the Supreme when she left the Supremes in the 60s and lived in poverty for about 5 years before dying in on February 22nd, 1976, at the age of 32, which is a very young age for her. But what a lot of people don't know, which the book also point out, was that Florence's life was turned in a negative direction when she was raped by a basketball player named Reggie Harding in 1960. And he raped her at knife point. And because of that rape, and because he was considered to be a friend, particularly of her brothers and stuff, and so she felt comfortable riding home with him after attending a local sock hop in Detroit, she never could really trust people. And to deal with the rape, she basically turned to alcohol. There was not a lot of therapy, things available for people at that particular period of time where they could turn to try to get help. And so she tried to deal with it as a member of the Supremes, but eventually the alcoholism and stuff became too much. And Dinah Ross and Mary Wilson, in a conversation with Berry Gordy, asked that she be removed from the group.
Wow, that's a great piece of history. Robert, I thank you very, very much. We have another call coming in right now. Peace and love, my friend.
Okay, again, the book is The Lost Supreme, The Life of Dream Girl, Florence Ballard.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I am.
Well, it sounds like Gloria Jean McMurtry.
Yes, it's Gloria McMurtry from Talking Drum Bookstore.
All right.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Good.
Now, we know you have so many items to choose from, but Gloria, just give us one or two that you think, you know, would be great to take with you on the trip.
Okay, one of them is, of course, the Barack Obama books, Audacity of Hope and Dreams from My Father. Mm-hmm. And then there's a companion one called Hopes and Dreams, which is more like a picture book that's not written by Barack.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two are, especially Dreams from My Father, which is his autobiography written by him. And you've heard his speeches, so you know he's a good speaker. He's an excellent writer, so it will hold you. And it's kind of what I call kind of an easy read.
I read the first one, Dreams from My Father,
that's
not the Audacity of Hope. And yes, I mean, his whole story is kind of made for Hollywood, which is maybe why he has such support from that sector. But, you know, it's just an incredible life. And apparently these two books were the ones that helped to pay off all the college loans.
Oh, okay.
I remember reading part of that.
I think I did read it.
Yeah, because these books are doing well. But for those who are still curious, yeah. Anything else that's just, now these are not, I mean, these are good reads. Anything else that's just kind of frivolous, a beach blanket book.
Okay. Song Yet Sung by James McBride. He's the author of Color of Water.
Mm-hmm.
From back. It's a really riveting slave novel that takes a place in the eastern shore of Maryland, right before the Civil War. It talks a lot about that air, and as well as the area, which is quite fascinating.
It really is. We interviewed him a few months ago, and again, that's one of those books that you say, I'm enjoying it now, and I want to go to the movies and see it, too. And you could see it being translated into that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then my third one is Come On People, which is Bill Cosby and Dr. Alvin Pouzin. And the reason why I picked this as a summer read, it deals with a very serious subject, but in a very casual way. It's very easy to read, but I think it's messages in there that we all need to start thinking about. The subtitle of the book is, it's Come On People, On the Path from Victims to Victors. And it covers every subject imaginable. Black men, working in your community, health, child raising, everything.
Boy, this sounds great. And thank you for calling in, because sometimes we say it's an open mic and nobody calls, and then sometimes everybody calls. We still have one more caller before we leave the airwaves in just a few minutes. But Gloria, thank you for calling in. And folks, you know, go to your local bookstores, the Talking Drum, of course, because Gloria's on here, but all the other ones, and support our local bookstores and get something great, you know, to read this summer. And then I think we have one person either still waiting or new, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Paris Williams is still hanging on.
Is Paris still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, thank you for waiting. Okay, you were going to read a passage from the the autobiography.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go you one better. We actually produced a documentary about my mother, where she actually reads this story herself over at Portland Community Media. And you can actually go to their website, I think it's pcm.com, and, you know, she'll read the story to you.
Oh, my gosh, that's great. But now, for those of us who will first read the story, which of the stories within Wild Stars Seeking Midnight Suns is the one? Do you know the name of it?
Yes, it's called Wait a Minute World.
Okay. That sounds like your mother.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
It does. Oh, you know, thank you for holding on to tell us this. Thank you for calling in this morning. And again, we're gonna mark your calendar. You're going to be on one Tuesday morning soon just to share with us all the things that you did learn when you were out in Berkeley. Let's see. I think you're probably... Is anybody else waiting? I think you may be our last caller for the morning, so we're going to thank you, and I'm still going to try to dredge something out of OB. I think there's a frivolous book in OB, and I just don't know where it is. Oh, OB?
We have one more caller on the line.
Wow.
No more?
No.
Oh, very good.
Oh, then I guess we're going to have to talk. Paris, thank you very much. Okay, OB? Okay, she's gone. Anything else?
Well, right now I don't think so.
Okay, well, I do want to say that, let's see, Valerie Wilson Wesley, my favorite black mystery writer, sleuth, has a new book out. And I'm sorry that I thought I brought it with me, but I didn't, so I don't even have the title with me. But it's, if you like her Tamara Hale Mysteries, she's, you know, she's got a new one. If you want to go back and read something older, I read a book called Gotham Tales. No, I'm sorry, Gotham Diaries by Tanya Lee, who just happens to be Spike Lee's wife. And it's an interesting story about, you know, a boy from a relatively small town who comes to New York to make good. He is a realtor. And, you know, when you're helping people buy houses and apartments, especially when, you know, they might be costing about $1 million, you kind of get to know them. So the story of the lead character's rise and the people that he works, you know, the customers that he has is fascinating in itself. And I found out recently that it's based on a very well-known realtor in New York who does not deny it, who said, well, of course, who else would be an African-American realtor from, I believe, Alabama, who's gay and deals in properties of, you know, $1 million plus. If you go to the website for the book, again, Gotham Diaries, there's an article about it. And you can read about this person. The fact that it was actually based on somebody who is living and breathing in New York was fascinating to me.
Well, I do have a suggestion. A book by on Curtis Mayfield might be a good read for the summer.
Yes.
It's Curtis Mayfield, Temptations. I remember that album, Curtis. Now, when I was down in, I'm going to change the subject just a little bit. When I was in Ashland, my friend Josiah gave me a copy of an audio called, guess what?
In the 7 seconds that I have, I'm just going to let you tell me.
That's okay. You've listened to Black Book Talk. We'll see you next
week. We'll tell you next month.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.